You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1. Transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Folks, we're going to do a little reading today. I'm going to read some letters and some newspaper articles and a little short thing that was written by General Douglas MacArthur. And we're going to take your phone calls. So this isn't going to be in-depth about any one subject. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of different things. And then we're going to take your calls and talk about whatever you want to talk about. And we'll pass the next 2 hours in pleasant company with each other. So, make sure that you're comfortable and that you're ready to participate in this little dialogue, discussion, so to speak, between you and I and the fence post, as we say out here in the country, rural areas. got a letter here, ladies and gentlemen, from Ron in New Jersey. He says, "Hi, Bill, Pooh, and Ann." And I guess he forgot about little Allison. That's okay. He says, "Please find enclosed an SASE and $2. Sorry, but it's the only money I could come up with. Please send your special sale list as mentioned in your last WWCR show of 8/30/96. And your regular list of items, if different. And your information on micro power FM transmitters. So far, the two ads in Media Bypass magazine in regards FM transmitters have sent me zilch. Loved your show for the short time I was able to catch it. Please excuse my little soapbox coming up, but I feel one must not succumb to the political doublespeak one hears everywhere. The following excerpt is from the 1976 Webster's Third New International Dictionary, unabridged, from page 1303. Listen to this carefully, folks. And we'll take some calls and see if you can guess what they're defining here. That's what I want you to listen very carefully and then call and tell me if you can guess what this is the definition of. I tell you what, I couldn't guess because this is, maybe you can. Okay, this is excerpt is from the 1976 Webster's Third New International Dictionary, unabridged, from page 1303. Now, don't go get your dictionary and look this up. Let's do this in the spirit in which it is intended and see if you can guess what this is defining. A theory in economics emphasizing individual freedom from restraint, especially by government regulation, in all economic activity, and usually based upon free competition, the self-regulating market, and the gold standard. And another definition for the same word is a political philosophy based on belief in progress, the essential goodness of man, and the autonomy of the individual, and standing for tolerance and freedom for the individual from arbitrary authority in all spheres of life, especially by the protection of political and civil liberties and for government under law with the consent of the governed." Now you call me right now and tell me, folks, what you think this is defining, and it is no fair looking in the dictionary that I quoted on the page that I quoted. I want to see if you can figure it out for yourself. Give me a call and take a guess. No, there are no prizes for this. Although there should be. There are no prizes for this, folks. Although there should be. I just don't have any to give you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Either socialism or communism.
Well, that's... no, it's not, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
But that's a good guess. 520-333-4578 is the number. Give me a call, folks. Let me read it to you again. The first... these are two definitions for the same word, found in the same dictionary under the same heading. The first is a theory in economics emphasizing individual freedom from restraint, especially by government regulation in all economic activity, and usually based upon free competition, the self-regulating market, and the gold standard. And the other definition is a political philosophy based on belief in progress, the essential goodness of man, and the autonomy of the individual, and standing for tolerance and freedom for the individual from arbitrary authority in all spheres, that's spheres of life, especially by the protection of political and civil liberties and for government under law with the consent of the governed. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. Is it free enterprise?
Nope, that's not it.
Is it self-determinism?
Nope.
Oh, I give up. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. That voice sounded familiar, but I couldn't quite place it. No, that's not it. It's a noun. I will tell you that. It's a noun. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Could it possibly be liberal and liberalism?
That's exactly what it is. Did you look it up?
No, sir. I did not.
Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But if these are the definitions of liberal and liberalism, how come it's liberals and liberalism that have taken away all the freedoms of the American people or in the process of destroying this country?
That's right.
Can you tell me that?
It's, it seems like double speak or double speak definitions.
Well, it's certainly a lie, I can tell you that.
I wonder if when they defined that in the dictionary, if that was what they believed back then, or if that was just a lie to make us believe what they wanted us to believe about liberalism.
Well, I think it's a lie to try and make us believe what they want us to believe, because Franklin Delano Roosevelt was a liberal, for gosh sakes, and he's the one who started our plunge into big government and socialism, and began the great plethora of laws that little by little have taken away the rights and freedoms and are restraining people in all of their efforts.
Mm-hmm. I thought of a scripture, too, about what it's turned out to be in actual action as far as difference in the definition of what we're experiencing today. It's really kind of like the scripture, this is a big paraphrase, but you know, promising more liberty, but in the end, causing more bondage. I know that's a big paraphrase, but there is a verse in the Bible that represents those that say, we promise you freedom, we promise you liberality, we promise you all this, but in actuality are putting the people into more bondage.
Well, yes, because any time the government promises you something, then, you know, any time the government gives you something, which usually comes after they've made some promise.
Oh, yeah.
They give you something.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they give you has to come from somewhere. Where does it come from?
It comes from greed.
No, is the government in business?
Oh, yeah.
It is? What business?
Enslavement.
No, you're missing my point altogether.
I'm sorry.
Where does the government get its money?
From us.
From us, that's right. Every penny that the government has comes from us. So they have to create this government with all of these millions, and believe me, it's millions of people working for the government. Can you take a guess on the percentage of the American population that works directly for government?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's like a third.
It's in excess of 40%. Were you aware of that?
I knew it was up there.
In excess of 40% of the American population works directly for the government of some kind.
Wow.
How about that?
That's something else. By the way,
who's paying all those people?
This is your buddy in Indiana. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm tickled pink of your Buddy Holly show. I really enjoyed that. I hope you don't mind I taped part of it.
Well, I don't mind it at all. I hope you did.
I really enjoyed it. I was the fourth caller that called in, and I'd gotten in the door, and I just got the edge of the question, and you just started playing Chantilly Lace. I was too late.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you would have probably guessed it. You know, everything that the government has comes from us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to create the government to handle the money and the programs that they have promised us, most of the money that comes from us goes where?
Goes to them.
Goes to support that government. And yet there are people out there who still believe that they're getting something from the government for free. Not only are they not getting it for free, they're paying about 500 times more than they would have paid if they'd have kept that money in their own community and put together their own programs.
And they tax us to pay for their nothingness that more or less is a gift that doesn't exist.
Well, you know, a lot of the taxes aren't even necessary. All of the money that the IRS skims off the American public, for those who are ill-informed enough to file and pay that, does not go back to the people at all, nor does it go to pay anybody in government.
Does it go to the IMF?
It goes to the International Monetary Fund and to the Federal Reserve to pay the interest on the loans of the debt that has been incurred by the United States of America.
Yeah,
it is not deposited in the treasury of the United States of America. The bank, that all the checks that are sent are endorsed, pay to any Federal Reserve Bank on the account of the United States of America.
Yeah, what makes me mad too, Mr. Cooper, is I was listening to you the other night, and I was listening to your financial program, I should say the gold standard and the silver standard program, and really, we're paying taxes for something they've created, and not only that, but we're enemies of the very government that we're paying taxes to.
Yeah, that's correct, but not of our choosing.
No.
It's because they have chosen to be a despot, a tyrant, and in order to get away with it, they have to declare us an enemy, and that's exactly what they've done.
Well, I'll get off here and let you carry on with your show, and I listen every night, as you probably have realized, and God bless you, sir, for the work you're doing, and I'm all for you, and I'm trying to get the message out down here in Sleepyville.
Great, thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you, too. You know, I just, a good friend of mine returned from a sojourn. He had been transferred away from here. He understands what's happening in this country, and he wanted to be out of a major population area and in a rural environment where he knew that there were people who would fight for freedom and stick, you know, with each other when the going gets tough. So he moved out here, and his wife couldn't handle this at all. And she needed them all. She wanted to be with her daughter, who was 18 or over years old, and thought that her daughter needed her. You know, that's recipe for disaster anyway. When a child reaches that age, the last thing they want is to be tailed by a parent. So anyway, sort of broke his heart, but in order to keep his marriage together, he put in for transfer and went back to the population area. And, you know, they weren't there long until they figured out that they had made a wrong move, and his wife knew it also, and that things were getting worse, escalating, in fact. And so he, after about a year's absence, he put in for another transfer back here, and was even lucky enough to purchase the same house that he had sold when he left. And so he's back, and I was just talking to him a little bit ago. He works in government, ladies and gentlemen. And not too long ago, he was with a whole bunch of other people who worked for the same department of government that he does in a meeting, and they brought in an expert to tell them about the militia. Well, needless to say, he knows all about the militia. So when they started this thing, he stood up and told them they were just absolutely full of crap. They didn't know what they were talking about. And that what they were saying about the militia and about patriots and about the people who live specifically in this portion of Arizona was a lie. Just was not true. And so anyway, I was very happy to see him. And because of his efforts, a lot of the attitudes that prevailed against patriots and militia members has changed. At least it's changed in this part of the country, I can assure you. Law enforcement does not look at us like they used to. And every time I pass a sheriff, sheriff's deputy, any police officer, or any highway patrol on the road, they all know who I am, and every single one of them gives me a friendly wave and a cheerful smile. And it didn't used to be that way, I've got to tell you. And it's mostly due to my friend's efforts. He is a highway patrol officer, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to name him because it's not necessary. And I certainly don't want to have a whole bunch of people bothering him. It made my heart feel so good. When I first met him, when he first moved into this area and made contact with us, we were all a little suspicious of him, as we should have been. And then after a while, we found out that he was one of us. And there are a lot of people like that in all levels of government. Not everyone in government is a part of what's happening. Many of the people in government are just like you and I and everybody else, and they're deeply concerned. But there is a weeding out process that's been being conducted, and sometimes those people find themselves shuffled into jobs where they have no power or influence, or out the door, or early retirement, and things like that. But that certainly hasn't happened here. One of the things that brought such great cheer to me is I used to be driving down the highway, and I would see him standing by a car that had been pulled over to the side of the road. And in a couple of memorable instances, those people were on the way to see me. Well, I didn't know it when I passed them, but they were on the way to see me. And when they came, I said, "Hey, wasn't that you stopped on the highway with the highway patrol. And they said, yeah. And they said, well, did you get a ticket? No. What do you mean? Well, what I got was a lecture on the New World Order. So he teaches people all about what's happening and in a nice manner. And if somebody deserves a ticket, by golly, he'll give it to them. If they just deserve a warning, he'll give them a warning. But everybody gets information about the truth about what's happening in this country. And that's fantastic. And I would tell you a lot more, but I don't think I had better anyway. I may have told you too much already. But there are many people across this country, every station of life, every level of government, industry, labor, whatever you want to call it, who are real Americans and who understand what is happening and are trying their best in their own manner, in the way that they can, to educate people and to rectify this situation. And I can tell you that it works if you're persistent. You make a big difference, whether you know it or not. The people that don't make any difference in their own lives or anybody else's lives are those people who are afraid or don't want to get on somebody's list or think that they're going to get fired or whatever. You've got to hang your butt out over the cliff, folks. If you don't, the big giant will just squish you like a bug. And there's been a great awakening. I don't know how many of you realize that, but, you know, I can see it. And the reason I can see it is because I started doing what I'm doing when nobody was awake. And I think I've told some of you this before. I used to have to travel 1,000 miles just to get 3 people in somebody's living room somewhere just to listen to what I had to say. And they were usually skeptical. And they never helped pay for expenses. When they did, it was extremely rare, and it was usually in the manner of you can sleep on the couch in the back room. And that's changed. That is changed, folks. It has changed so much. And it's due to the fact that so many of us have been attempting to awaken people and get them to understand what is happening. And, of course, many people have awakened and do understand what is happening. And are helping. And, you know, you may not realize it, but somebody that you talk to today who may not seem like they're interested at all, if you just plant that seed will grow. Because if you've given them just enough so that they can look around and see that you are right, and then maybe look for something else, it spreads, and it spreads on an exponential basis. If you see the person often enough to keep reinforcing that seed that you planted, well then, big things can happen. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, you're hitting the nail right on the head right now. That's just what we're doing, planting the seed. I can feel it also. I got WMRI in Miami here. I pass out cards to everyone. I just listen to the program. I'm in the process of making a small billboard. 40,000-50,000 people pass on the streets past this billboard. I have on the little billboard that I'm making, turn into WRMI, the time, the station, and everything, shortwave radio, .. I dare you.
Wow. Hey, that's great.
Yeah. But this is really the crux of the situation. 40% of these people working for the government, they're not going to make a move until they feel comfortable that there's going to be other people that can move with them.
Sure.
They have to make those people feel comfortable when this move is going to occur.
Mm-hmm.
I almost fell off my chair the other night when the president said, oh, no, let's not make it an amendment to the balanced budget. Let's not do it. He doesn't want that to be done because he's scared to death. He's having accountability for the monies that are going to be used for these coming crises that are planned or whatever. The last thing he wants to do is have an official legal balanced budget because then they can't finagle money anymore.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true, and he's scared to death of that. And the school system, oh, now they want to open up the school systems on Saturday. They want to keep these kids under their wing.
Well, that's one of the plans. You see, I did a couple of broadcasts on that 2 or 3 years ago. That's one of the plans. They did that in the Soviet Union. The schools are going to become combination education and mental health centers. And it will be the center of the community. And from birth to death, everyone's life will revolve around that community education and mental health center. And so they'll constantly be bombarding you with what they want you to think and want you to know, and discouraging and destroying through the mental health process what they don't want you to think and what they don't want you to know. And they will condition everyone to rat on everyone else, so that if you say something that's not politically correct, they'll know about it instantly, and the next time you go in for your little education session, one of the health center workers will come and ask you to come for counseling. And if you're too far out away from the politically correct line of thinking, then you'll be channeled into a mental health program. And if that doesn't, correct your thinking to the right way, then you'll be channeled into a mental institution where you will just disappear.
It's true. The public, they said, no, this is beyond our belief. No, it's not beyond our belief. It's going to happen.
Yeah, it is happening.
Full certification of teachers. The public doesn't understand. There's a reason behind that. This guy is a lion rattlesnake. He's a rat, this Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
The dog.
Yeah.
They want this whole certification program to come down to get these people. Notice what he says. No, we're going to do everything public schools. What about the homeschoolers and the Judeo-Christian values that they want to impart?
There won't be any. There will not be any, because
there won't be.
They don't want Judeo-Christian values.
Exactly.
And that's why all these people who keep pointing to the Jews and say it's the Jews are wrong. Because they're not going to be allowed to have their synagogues either.
Exactly. There's just so much. There's so much ground here. I got 10 pages of notes here about that speech last night. I love it when he says the people elected him. What is this man talking about? I don't understand. 91 million people voted out of 270. He only got 45 million votes. That's 1 in 7 people wanted him. But where is the majority, the plurality for him?
Yeah, and
people didn't put him in office.
And according to the interviews that were conducted on television with voters, many of those didn't want him. They just thought that he was a better choice between him and Bob Dole.
To go one step further, a lot of those minority groups
mm-hmm.
were on government programs. What are they going to do, vote their program out?
Oh, of course not. They vote in blocks because they can't kick out their sugar daddy. And
I'm
sure
what I have
and it's, and
your listenership, that there's one person that's doing it, and I'm affecting a lot of different people. It's an amazing thing. A lot of people know what I'm talking about, but they just can't put their hand on it. They don't have the information available. That gold program that you had the other day was excellent. I rewrote that in a transcript form, and I'm emailing it to as many people as possible.
Great.
Yeah.
Also, listen, I got to correct something you said. You said those minorities, that's just not true. Do you know that there are more white people on welfare than black or Hispanic or any other so-called minority? Were you aware of that? Most Americans are not aware of it because we're constantly bombarded with the information that it's blacks and Hispanics on welfare, and it's not true. That's because they're trying to divide us racially also. They've got to chop this country up so that we're not unified.
Yeah, don't misunderstand me.
I'm not. I know where that came from.
Yeah, no.
You didn't make it up. It's you. That's what you have been indoctrinated to believe.
Well, I don't want to take up too much time, but just it's just one lie after another, and it's all sugar coated. But it's not what these people think it is.
No.
They're getting ready to pull the plug here.
Well, yes, they are.
Yeah.
And not too far off. And that's another thing I've got to talk about.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Yeah, folks, that's another thing I have to talk about. There has been a loan made to Mexico through the Bundesbank of Germany. And that loan has been guaranteed by the United States of America. How many of you can guess how much the loan was for? Remember, we just bailed Mexico out not too long ago. And that was supposed to be the bailout. We loaned them the money. They supposedly paid it back. And now we're not involved anymore, and Clinton got on television and said, see. The reason he was able to do that is because they convinced the Bundesbank to loan Mexico money. The United States guaranteed the loan, which means if Mexico doesn't pay off back the Bundesbank, the United States of America has to. So how much money was it?
I don't know.
Why not?
Because I don't listen to the news.
Oh, okay.
Good evening, Bill. This is Greg in Indiana.
It wasn't on the news. You wouldn't have heard it there anyway.
Okay, well, I quit watching the networks years ago.
The American people are not supposed to know about this.
I as far as I'm concerned, there's no sense in watching if you can't believe what they say.
Well, you're absolutely right. Except
it's entertainment, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. There are those of us who have to watch it just to find out what kind of BS they're trying to feed us now.
Boy, I sure wouldn't want to have that job. That'd aggravate me.
Well, sometimes it aggravates me, but I'm one of those people who has to do it. Go ahead.
Two things. Do you still have any of Renee's book left?
I believe we do. If we don't, we can get them.
Would they be at the same price as what was listed in the last Veritas?
Yes.
Okay. Item number two. Last night, when I was, or I guess it was the night of the State of the Union address,
mm-hmm.
I was on my way to work and was listening to UBN, which I think used to be People's Radio Network.
I don't know.
And there's a fellow in the evening on there, his name is Jerry something or other, and he had a long monologue. And when I was listening to it, it sounded nice at first. He was talking about returning the United States to the control of the people, that the government was there to serve us, not us to serve it. And the more I listened to it, the more I started to realize that what I've been learning, listening to your program over a year or something now, that the one thing he never said was the fundamental problem with the federal government is that they're not following the Constitution, that we don't need all of this other stuff that, constitutional amendments for the balanced budget and all that, if they just follow the Constitution.
That's correct. We
don't need term limits. We don't need gun registration. We don't need gun confiscation. We certainly don't need the government in the classroom. All we need is for them to follow the Constitution the way it's written. And I don't understand, well, yeah, I guess I do understand, but I hear all, this whole monologue that this Jerry guy did, it sounded so nice, but it completely missed the point. this has been one of the hardest parts of really getting the bottom line of what it is that I feel I'm supposed to learn listening to your program,
mm-hmm.
is that the differences between democracy and a constitutional representative republic are very subtle, but very significant at the same time.
Yes, they are.
It's difficult to be able to listen to a very professional radio commentator talk and be able to tell whether what this guy is saying is actually good or dead wrong. And what this guy was talking about the night of Clinton's speech was, boy, it sure did sound good, but good God, I mean, if this guy actually believes this, or whether his employer handed him this piece of paper and said, here, read this and make it sound like you believe it.
Uh-huh. Well, it's not hard if you can block out the personality that makes you like this person.
Yeah.
And that's why, there was a time when I used to begin my broadcasts telling my listening audience to pretend that I was a bank robber, a murderer, child molester, the lowest creepy crawly thing that you can imagine, that had committed terrible, unbelievably despicable crimes, and then just listen to the information that I give you and go out and prove me wrong.
Yeah, it's difficult to listen to a program like yours and not put you in a pedestal and not try and pigeonhole you into what we think are.
Well, that's
part of the problem.
Part of the problem of how we got here is doing that with people. You see, I'm just a regular guy, just like all of you people out there.
Yeah,
I'm not any different from any of you. And certainly don't belong on a pedestal, because I'm also very human. I would be the first one to fall off that pedestal if you were to place me there.
Yeah.
It's also the beginning of cults.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't want to be a cult leader. I want to be an American. I would like for all of you to be Americans. And the way we got here is trusting people to do what they're supposed to do, putting them on the pedestal, And then when we find out that they may not be doing the right thing, denying that that could possibly be true.
That's asking for trouble.
You better believe it. That's how we got in this trouble. That's exactly what we've done for all these years.
Yeah. And it's scary. God bless you, Mr. Cooper.
God bless you, too. And thank you for calling. Yeah, that's how we got here, folks. That's exactly what did it to us. Instead of being responsible ourselves to watchdog those we put in government and make sure they're doing the right thing and don't vote them back in if they're doing the wrong thing and keep up on issues. Most Americans, even those listening to this broadcast right this moment, don't know what's going on in their own city council, much less the county supervisors meeting or in the state house. How in the world could they possibly know what's going on in Washington, D.C.? Well, folks, they could all get together and everybody could have certain responsibilities to check up on certain things and bring certain information and make copies and pass it out to everybody else. And it could happen, but nobody's doing it. Or I should say, very few are doing it, because it's not correct to say nobody's doing it. Few people are doing it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm Michelle from Mentor, Ohio.
Hi.
And my family listens to you every night. And my husband had an article from a paper that's local around here, the News Herald. And he wanted me to read it to you. Okay. Do you have a few minutes?
How long is it?
Not very long. It's just, it's from a Saturday, March 23rd, 1996.
Okay, go ahead.
And, it says, I'm not good at words, it says swastikas found on church floor during renovation. It says in Lafayette, Indiana, walking into church on a Sunday morning, the last thing many Catholics would expect to see is a swastika embedded in the floor tiles.
It's
the reality that parishioners of St. Lawrence Catholic Church face since the church has undergone renovations and celebration with its 100th anniversary.
Wait, hold on. I don't know what you're doing, but it's very hard to understand some of the words that you're saying. Would you really try and pronounce the words as perfect as you can and start?
So it basically says that there's a Catholic church in Indiana in Lafayette, and they were renovating the floor and everything, and they found a swastika. I can't say the word too well. Embedded into the floor, and they were in shock.
A swastika?
Yes, they couldn't believe it was there.
You mean a swastika?
Yes. I'm sorry, I can't say that word that well.
Like the Nazi?
Yes, it is, the Nazi one.
Okay.
And it just talks about how much in shock they were at finding that in the floor, and my husband wanted you to hear about it.
Well, they shouldn't have been shocked, because it's a very ancient part of just about all religions. And we covered that extensively in the series we did on the mysteries. And that there are a lot of things hidden in churches that comes from the mysteries that the parishioners or the congregation do not understand and never question, because they don't know that symbolism is powerful and it has meaning and it's really speaking to those who know. And for instance, did you know that almost every church in the world is aligned on a perfect east-west basis?
No, I didn't know that.
So that when the sun comes up in the morning, it illuminates the altar?
No, I didn't know that at all.
You didn't know that?
No.
It's true.
I have another quick question. My husband would like to send you some tapes, and he wondered if he should do it regular mail or UPS.
He can send it regular mail.
Okay.
Just make sure he wraps them up real good.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, folks, the swastika is the ancient symbol of the sun and illumination, if you will. And with the spokes going one way, it is supposed to symbolize the good force of the light, and going the other way, it's supposed to symbolize the opposite. And it's based upon the yin-yang principle, male, female, bad, good, black, white, so on and so forth. There's a famous church in England that was built by the Templars. The floor is covered with black and white marble squares, which symbolizes the duality of God, the androgynous nature of God that is not explained to the regular worshipers in the regular churches. They don't know these things, but the priests know them. The ministers know them. The first few weeks that anyone ever spends in a seminary school, their previous beliefs are ripped to shreds. And the Bible is pointed out to be, I mean, they just tear down everything that they've ever believed in their life and then build it back up and teach them the esoteric meaning of everything and tell them, don't you dare go out and tell the people these things. It's the truth, folks. And if you can find an honest minister or an honest priest who will sit down and really be honest with you, they'll tell you this. And they'll demonstrate it to you. And it's amazing that the people don't know what they think they know. Never have. They've been controlled and manipulated by forces that they don't even know exist. By malevolency and by parasites and leeches that prey off of these people. And it's just, you know, I can't explain to you the entire mystery series in these next 2 hours. I won't even try it, but it's available if you want it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi. Jackie.
Calling.
Jackie Petru.
Yes.
Yes.
I just had to put my 2 cents in here, if I may. When you were talking about we are where we are because of the putting blind faith in people. And that's going on today here in America to such an extent that it's very quite frightening to me. And what I'm talking about is the controlled opposition, the phony conservatives, Bill.
Yes.
And there's a whole passel of them.
A whole bunch of them.
And they have millions of Americans that are so blindly loyal to them. I've been putting stuff out on the internet. I basically got kind of caught up in a dialogue in the education loop. And I started putting stuff out about Michael Ferris, who's head of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association.
Yeah, I've seen some of the attacks on you for that.
Betty Mills told me this a long time ago. God love her. But she said, you know, until we can expose these people, we don't have a prayer to win this battle because they have such control over the minds. And I believed Betty, but you know something when you experience it for yourself. You know, you can believe something, but until you experience it for yourself, you don't really know it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I put that stuff out, and I just thought it was so critically important, and I actually thought those people would be grateful.
Oh no, they want to destroy you now.
Oh my God! I mean, I handed them all of the proof that they needed that this man has been a traitor to them, and that he is leading them down the path and over the cliff, Bill. And basically what I got is people saying, my God, isn't there anybody out there you trust? And it was really an eye-opener, a real eye-opener. But I wanted to share this with your listeners because it's so important. And the people I'm talking about, people like Pat Robertson, Christian Coalition, people like...
But Jackie, what about Pat's book on the New World Order? He couldn't possibly. I mean, he wrote a book on the New World Order.
Yeah, did you read that book?
Oh, yes, I read it, of course.
But you know what? So did I, and this was when I was quite...
It's a joke,
more
isn't
ignorant
it?
Than I am now.
Yeah, it's a joke, isn't it?
Huh?
It's a joke.
Well, I tell you, it wasn't to me then, because I was just really beginning to, you know, open my sleepy eyes. I thought the book was just fantastic, and that's when I was running my business. And I had my secretary go to the little bookstore by my office and buy every copy they had, a paperback. And everybody that came into my office said, here, give me $7 and read this book. And then I got towards the end of it, and I heard him lauding George Bush. And George Bush's vision of the New World Order is not the same evil vision of those evil people.
Oh no, it's a good New World Order.
Oh yes, and I wrote to Mr. Robertson, see, and I said, well, I thought your book was fantastic, and it looked like you did your homework, but then I see this, and either you have not done your homework near well enough, or you must be part of the problem that's bringing America to her knees. And then I told him all about George Bush's skull and bones and the whole thing, and how I got this generic letter back from him, and I said, oh, well, there goes another one.
Sure.
But people also, like Michael Ferris, Homeschool Legal Defense Association, there's 50,000 families right there who believe in this man so that it's just incredible.
And he's going to lead them right out of the ability to homeschool their children.
Yes, and, you know, Paul Weyrich,
mm-hmm.
National Empowerment Television.
Oh, yes.
The man's Jesuit trained.
Mm-hmm.
The man wears a collar, and it makes him look, oh, my goodness, you know, he must be a Christian because he's got that collar on.
Oh, but they don't understand that the official stance of the Vatican right now and the Jesuit organization is that Jesus was a communist who preached communism, and they teach in the Jesuit schools and in the Catholic churches in third world nations liberation theology, which is nothing but pure Marxism. Now, I'm not talking about the Catholic Church. I'm not talking about Catholics who go to church and are real Christians and really believe that everything is the way that they believe it is. I'm talking about these subversives who have infiltrated, who are Marxists. And you go into any third world country, especially in South America, and walk into a Catholic church where there's a Jesuit priest and talk to the people and ask them what they're learning in church. And what they'll tell you is there's going to be a revolution.
Uh-huh. Well,
and they just drip Marxism.
It's been an amazing eye-opening experience for me. Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this woman is very, very powerful in this country.
Sure she is.
And she's
But she never talks about the real things that are wrong.
Never, 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 never.
And she never will.
And we also know that she has had access to government funding, nearly to the tune of $500,000.
Oh, by the way, folks, if you need a lot of money, if you have a special project that you want to do, just write up a grant proposal, and, you know, I'm just telling you this as a joke, because I don't want to tell anyone to do anything that might turn out to be illegal. But if you want to get the money that you're applying for, just word it in a way that you're for Marxism and the New World Order and more government and all of that kind of stuff, and you'll get it. You'll get it quick, so quick it'll make your head spin. But if you put down anything else, you won't. Put down anything about the Constitution, our liberty, our principles and ideals, our homeschooling, our anything like that, and you will not get your grant.
You're absolutely correct. I had found a couple of, well, I didn't find it. Chuck is reading Galatians' book,
mm-hmm.
Lies for Old. We've had the book here forever. And then when you talked about it that day, he said, I got to get that book down. But I found something here, Bill, that exactly tells what these people are doing and how they do it. And just a minute here, if I may share this. It's not too long. It's actually what he's doing is telling the strategies. Just a minute. I put this out in another article I put out on Ferris. Here we are. Past the Hegelian dialectic. Gleason's book. Okay. What he says, this was, he was explaining on how to detect the disinformation tactics,
uh-huh.
Communists, and I just changed the word communism to socialism to bring it into today's reality.
Yeah, in reality, they're both the same.
Yeah, right. But people think, oh, well, communism, that's dead.
Yeah.
If you talk about communism, people think, okay, you know, that we're in the dark ages because communism's dead. So that's why I did that.
Yeah, but communism is just the ultimate extension of the socialist principle.
That was part of the Hegelian dialectic, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
But what they hoped was by pitting the United States against the Soviet Union in a so-called Cold War, the synthesis of this conflict would result in the socialism that they had always wanted.
That's right. May I share this?
Sure.
Okay. In his book, he's quoting a guy named, it looks like Yuri Krasin, and the guy said, complete unanimity can hardly be a precondition of joint action. What is needed is not static, monolithic unity, but a dynamic system of views and positions marked by differences on particular issues, but developing on the basis of the fundamental principles of Marxism, Leninism common to all. And I kind of translated that for people, you know, in case they didn't understand it, make it appear that there's opposition, while all the time both sides are moving us towards socialism.
Yes.
And he says that there are five related principles, and there are a couple of them here really important. The first is not to assume that where there are polemics, which means argument, that there are necessarily divisions. And then the third one is to seek evidence. This is so important. Seek evidence of unity of action behind the disunity of words.
Mm-hmm.
To look for secretly coordinated joint actions.
Sure.
Apparent enemies. And that's what these phony conservative organizations are doing to America today. And I know I've been on here a long time, so I'll let somebody else. And thanks for letting me get that off my chest, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye.
That was Jackie Patru. The number is 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Good evening, Mr. Cooper. This is Virginia here in Texas. I'd like to ask you a question. I noticed during the inaugural that Bill Clinton had his right hand on the Bible and his left hand raised to take the oath. Is there something behind that? Shouldn't it be the other way around?
Well, it's supposed to be the right hand on the Bible and the left hand. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's always raise your right hand. Left hand on the Bible, right hand in the air.
Yeah. Well, is there some sort of occultic significance to what he did there?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I've never seen that done before. It may have just been, you know, some things are really accidental. He may have been really nervous, and he may have just done it that way. I don't know. But I don't know of any other meaning for that, no.
Okay. One other question.
Doesn't mean that there's not. It just means that I don't have the answer.
Okay. What is that music that you play for the Second Continental Army of the Republic?
What music are you talking about?
It comes on with a trumpet call when you're talking about recruits. For the Second Continental Army?
Oh, that's the recruiting call. United
okay.
States United
so
States
it's called?
United States Army recruiting call, yes.
Oh, okay, because I was trying to, you know, I wanted to find, trying to get that, and I like it, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, you can get a CD of bugle calls. And,
oh, okay.
And it's all on there. Yeah, back in the old days, they didn't have telephones and loudspeakers and all that kind of stuff, so they communicated with a bugle. So the local militia or army recruiting contingent would march into a village and set up their little table in the village green, and the bugler would blow the recruiting call. And even though a lot of people wouldn't know what it meant, such a happening would certainly bring them over to see what was going on, and that would give the recruiters a chance to talk to them.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. And we're just going to spend today talking with each other. And when there's a little lull, I'll read something. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello, Bill.
Yes, you need to speak up a lot louder.
Am I speaking loud enough?
No, you're either on a bad line. Are you on some kind of cell phone or something?
On a portable phone. Let me get a little closer.
Yeah, you need to...
Can help any?
No, you need to get on a real phone.
Okay, let me run to the other phone real quick.
Right, hurry up. Oh. Run. Hup, 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 hup.
Yeah. Hello.
Okay, that's much better.
Hello.
That's much better.
Okay. Good. Glad to talk to you, man. I talked to you the other day, and I just got my aerial up and found out where you were, and I'm so glad to be able to listen to you again, because WWCR went completely down the tubes.
Well, when they fired George McClintock and they want a good broadcast back on that station, they can talk to me.
Well,
as long as he works there, I wouldn't go back to WWCR if they paid me.
On Sundays, they even have a program for recruiting for the Antichrist.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, what I was calling for, my niece got married in the Catholic Church. I was Catholic. My niece got married in the Catholic Church, and seeing as how I've been listening to you and reading the information and books that you have recommended, I went in there and looking, and I saw quite a few things. For instance, the main cross over the altar on all four points was the five-pointed star. And this is a 100-year-old church.
Mm-hmm.
The priest was wearing a Rosicrucian robe with the rose cross on each side.
Mm-hmm.
White robe with the Rosicrucian cross on each side. And on the right-hand side of the altar, looking at it, there was a crucifix on a stick with Jesus Christ on the cross. And on his right cross, his right arm, was the mystery symbol of the sun god, the sun blazing with a face in it.
Uh-huh.
On the other side was the moon god. It was the boat of Isis type thing, the sliver of the moon with the face in it.
Yeah.
At the bottom was the skull and bones, and at the top was the golden pyramid. And I brought it to the attention of my wife and a couple of other people, and my wife, knowing where I'm coming from, she was shocked. And the other people, they just didn't make any difference to them.
Well, that's because they don't understand what these things mean. Most people have no idea what they are a part of when they join a church, any church. I don't care what it is. They have no idea.
It's so blatant.
Yeah.
It's just out and out. Well, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that any of these people are bad. It doesn't mean that they're doing the wrong thing. If that's really what they want to do and they're doing it from an educated mind and they believe it, then I'll be the first one to support their right to do it, and will die in their defense of that if I have to. Nevertheless, it's true.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. The only thing I object to is hiding it and forcing it down everybody's throats that doesn't want it.
Well, you see, if they told the truth, they wouldn't have any people in their churches. They wouldn't have any money in their pockets. They wouldn't be able to build these gigantic crystal cathedrals and sit at inauguration ceremonies and be recognized by the president, who is a screaming communist. They wouldn't be able to do any of these things.
One more thing. I don't know if I heard it somewhere because I listened to so much, or whether I was just came up with it for myself. I heard your last conversation was about communism. I've got a definition for communism, which I think is pretty close to what it is as far as I can see. What I say it is, it's militarily enforced monopolistic capitalism. Hello.
Well, if you're in the sense that the government owns and controls everything, including the people, you're right.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you agree.
Well,
I'm glad to have you back.
I can't argue with that. I just had to
really enjoying your program because I can't stand to listen to the rest of this stuff. It's crazy.
Well, thank you for the compliment.
Okay, bud. Have a good day.
You too. 520-333-4578. Hey, you know, if all of you out there are living in an area and you can't find anybody who thinks or believes like you do, and you get lonesome, let me tell you something. The very worst thing that you can do is go out and find a girlfriend or a boyfriend or date somebody whose beliefs are not the same as yours. And the reason for that is, eventually, it will cause a tremendous rift between the two of you. And if you end up getting married and have children, just think of the damage that could be done to those children if you end up splitting up because one of the partners believes in liberty. It believes in constitutional Republican government, and the other one believes something different than that. And, you know, a lot of people sometimes are forced into these relationships because they're lonely and they need companionship and they can't find somebody who fits their mold, so to speak. It is so important that any union that you have with another person, ladies and gentlemen, especially on such an intimate basis as a boyfriend or girlfriend or a marriage partner, they must have the same principles and ideals and basic beliefs that you have, or it's doomed to failure. And if you think that somebody is pretty and you like their personality and they'd make a wonderful mother, if you think that you can marry that person and somehow change the way that they believe or think, That's a recipe for total disaster. And I would recommend that you don't do that. And so I'm going to go to the phone, then I'm going to talk about a solution for your problem. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, it's Saber. Were you looking at your caller ID when you started that tirade?
No, why?
I want to know what the remedy is.
Well, it's the Patriot Matchmaker.
Right. Okay.
Who is that?
Marilyn.
That's right.
That's not me.
I know that's not you.
Okay. We're doing something different. Two things. We got off on that a while ago. I was trying to find the paperwork. I can't find it right now. But somewhere way back I studied, I think left esoterically meant sinister.
Yes, that's correct.
Right?
Yes.
Did you get the obituary I sent you on Joe Gray?
I don't know. It's
faxed it yesterday?
I'm trying to think of it. Well, I'll tell you what. Connie is listening. Connie, would you look in the fax and see if there's an obituary on Mr. Gray? And if there is, would you bring it in to me, please? But go ahead.
He was an FBI technical expert, died of apparent heart attack at age 54 while eating in a restaurant in Redondo Beach. You know who he was, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This is the guy that was intimately involved in the investigation of the Oklahoma City bombing.
Right. Instrumental in collecting a lot of data for the trial, especially electronic data.
Yes.
Anyway, another one bites the dust. I just wanted to be sure you got that. And when I heard you talking about left or raising the left hand, I thought about that, but I can't locate the paperwork.
Well, I know that everything in the occult world has a dual meaning, and that's why a lot of times you'll see some of the symbolism involves a man or a woman looking in a mirror. Sometimes or so image of this, what appears to be the same image, but if you turn upside down and look at it, you'll see the one is sinister and the other one has a good countenance to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so left is supposed to be the opposite of right, and the right is supposed to be the good influence, left is supposed to be the bad influence. Same with black, white, you know, male, female, all of these things are supposed to be opposites of each other, which working in conjunction are supposed to result in a balance.
Right.
And they're always talking about the balance.
You remember the little guy, the little creature in Star Wars?
Yes, Yoda.
Yoda? Have you ever turned Yoda's head upside down?
What is it?
Baphomet.
Pardon?
Baphomet.
Baphomet, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, I just wanted to check on that.
Well, there's a lot of symbolism built into my book, in the title, in the cover of the book. I love to talk back to these people. There's symbolism built into the cover of Oklahoma City Day One. We did all this intentionally so that there's no doubt in the minds of our enemy that we know who they are and what they're doing.
Maybe we could start make up a handbook and do the symbolism and discuss it in the handbook so people would be aware of what the symbols are.
Yeah. For instance, the title of my book is Behold a Pale Horse,
right,
which is the biblical, the good side. And if you take the initials of Behold a Pale Horse, it is the, oh, thank you, Connie. It is the abbreviation for Baphomet.
Well, that was an interesting little inauguration. His hand was not touching the Bible.
No, he, as he said during his inaugural speech, he did place a piece of paper on top of the Bible, and he did put his hand above that piece of paper, and that was the verse, at least he says that was the verse that Reverend Schuller gave him, whom he recognized during his, Schuller sold out so many years ago, it's pathetic. That
you noticed he was sitting next to Hillary at the speech yesterday.
Yeah.
Evening.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was it.
Okay.
God bless.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. That was Saber. Yeah, here it is. Joseph Beal Gray, who was FBI technical expert, dies. Joseph Beal Gray, the technical backbone of Dallas FBI Bureau for nearly 30 years, has died. During his career, Mr. Gray played key roles in, from taping Cullen Davis's alleged murder-for-hire incident to the electronic investigation of the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. Mr. Gray, 54, died Sunday of an apparent heart attack while dining in Redondo Beach, California, where he was attending a security conference. He had been director of security for Hughes Data Systems in Dallas since his October 1996 retirement from the FBI. A memorial service will be at 2 p.m., blah, 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 blah. Just goes all through the stuff, you know, the normal stuff. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the notification of the man's death at all, but I'm trying to get to the meat of the matter. Mr. Gray testified at the trial at which Mr. Davis was acquitted of the murder for hire charge. Mr. Gray described the investigation of the Oklahoma City bombing in his most as his most satisfying, his wife said. He was instrumental in collecting a lot of the data for the trial, electronic data. That was his gift, she said. Mr. Gray was in Oklahoma City for about 6 months on the case. He was asked specifically by Washington to go, his wife said. Those that knew him said Mr. Gray was unassuming and eager to help anyone. He was just a super great human being, Mr. Speck said. He gave everyone all the time they needed unselfishly. Now, you know what's the problem with his death, folks? Is that if he collected all of this information, if he is the one who actually did it, set up the electronic systems and collected this information and tracked it all down and all of that kind of stuff, he now cannot testify at the trial. And anyone who testifies in his place will be giving hearsay evidence. You know what I mean? Good evening, you're on the air.
A couple of weeks ago, you were talking about the churches and so forth, and you mentioned something about Vatican II. Look it up. Look up the document on Vatican II, I think, and I want to make sure that I'm right when I said that, because you did say, you know, don't believe me, just look it up.
That's right.
Okay. Was I right, or did I hear it wrong?
Were you right about what?
About looking it up, looking up something about the Catholic Church. If you are...
Yeah, look up the documentation of Vatican II, and you'll see that the Catholic Church is not the Catholic Church now that it used to be before Vatican II occurred.
I see.
It is a completely different organization now.
Well, I know that the that there's things that are going here in this little county, and I was a Catholic, but I'm no longer a Catholic.
Well, let me correct something that I said. I said the Catholic Church is not the same now as it was, and that is not correct, and I've got to correct that right now. What I mean is the Vatican has dictated that the Catholic Church not be anymore what it was, and that it change in certain ways.
Right.
Okay? Some congregations and some priests have refused to do that.
But our pastor, and this is what I did, I went to him and confronted him and asked him, why aren't you teaching things out of the Bible instead of this crazy little pamphlet that we got every Sunday? And I said, you know, there's things in this little Sunday Missalette, or whatever you call it, that is written by the Oxford University Press, and I said, that's no good. And he got...
Anything that comes from the Oxford University Press is teaching secular humanism and socialism in the New World Order.
I said, here it is, right here, and you're putting this out for all the people, all the parishioners, and it's wrong. And, of course, I got Hail Columbia because I took your book with me. And he says, you're going to believe this man? I said, he's got documentation on everything.
That's right.
I said, go look it up for yourself. And that was it. I mean, you know, I felt bad about it, and yet I feel better about it now.
Well, good for you.
Well, thank you, Bill. You've
really opened my eyes. It's wide open.
Wonderful. Well, I didn't open your eyes. All I did was make you...
Yes, you had a hand in it.
I just put a seed in your mind and you went out and opened your eyes.
Well, still and all, you know, like you say, don't believe me. Go look it up. Well, I did.
That's right. That's exactly what you should do.
Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. I just love it when people take my advice because, you know, when you take my advice, when you go look it up and find out that it's exactly like I said it was, you can't go back to the life you had before. It's impossible. And that's why a lot of people absolutely refuse. They won't go look it up. They won't do it. And the reason they won't do it is because they know that. They know that once they look it up and find out that it's true, they're then responsible to do something about it. And that's really what they don't want to be. They don't want to be responsible. They want to be taken care of. They want a life that's not encumbered by problems or anything. They don't want to know that something's wrong. Even though everybody knows it in their gut. And there's not anybody I've ever met who won't tell you that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. My name is Fred. I'm in Virginia. I have a question. Two questions. Do you have an address, mailing address?
Certainly.
May I have it, please?
The Harvest Trust.
Harvest Trust?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
P.O. Box 1970.
1970.
Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R.
E-A-G-A-R.
It's E-A-G-A-R, right. Arizona.
Right.
85925.
85925.
Yeah.
The Harvest Trust.
Uh-huh.
The second question is, I'm in Virginia. How do I locate the militia of the state?
Well, you're going to have to sort of find out where patriots congregate. You might want to look in the paper and find announcements of meetings where someone is going to speak on a patriotic subject. Go and associate with those people and get to be known. Don't go around asking people where the militia is.
Right.
Because I guarantee you, you'll be the subject of a militia counterintelligence investigation to find out who you're working for. You have to get known and trusted. That's
your talk on this, last week,
mm-hmm.
Made a big impression on me, and I'm sort of training myself in a way, and that's so little as what I can do. But so far, I feel like I'm hanging out here in the breeze by myself, so right. I just have to sort of nose around and find out.
Yeah, and if you can't find one, it may not be because there's not one there. It may be because they don't want you to know that they're there for whatever reason. But if you can't find one, form one on your own. But make sure that you have a copy of the Constitution for the United States of America and the appropriate statutes concerning the militia and of your state also. And that you are participating in the unorganized militia of which you are a member by law, and you are training and preparing for the day in which you may have to exercise the responsibilities connected with being a member of the unorganized militia.
Title 56 of the state constitution mentions the Virginia State Defense Force, which is under the authority of the governor and the assembly and has an adjutant general.
That's not the militia. That is a state organized military force.
I see.
Unless it is specifically specified as the militia, it is not.
I need a copy of the U.S. Code. At least go down and check it out.
Yes.
What's the title?
You should have a copy of all of the appropriate constitutions and statutes which apply to the militia.
So I'm going to have to go to the library and do some work.
Yeah, it's Title 10 and Title 32.
Title 10 and 32.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578 is the number. Anyway, let me do this, folks. Let me do this for you. There is a Patriot Matchmaker for those of you who, and you know, you might think this is funny, but it's not. We have people who are Americans, who believe in the principles and ideals upon which this country was founded. They believe deeply in constitutional Republican government, in freedom, And they live in a place that is so socialist in the makeup of its population that they cannot find a suitable mate. And that is one of the most terrible things that can happen to any person anywhere, is to find themselves alone. And I know that if I were alone, folks, I would never have lasted. I would have, this job that I've taken on for myself, this task, this of delivering this message, which I have to do, it just would have torn me apart without someone to take part of this burden off of me. And that's Annie and the children. They bring a gladness and a joy to my heart that just cannot be described. And without them, you wouldn't be listening to me. I can assure you of that. It's just people who are alone don't function very well. It just happens to be a fact of the human condition. It's part of the way we are, I guess. So there is a Patriot matchmaker. Her name is Marilyn. And you can get in touch with her. And there's going to be, she's putting an ad. This is not an ad, by the way. I'm doing this because I know that there's a lot of people out there who need this very badly. But she is putting an ad in the next issue of Veritas. I'm looking through this stuff I've got here. I'd like to give you her number or address over the air, but it's just not here. And this is not, I'm not doing this to get you to buy Veritas, folks. Although you should. I'm trying to... Connie, if you're out there and if you have the address or the phone number of the Patriot Matchmaker, could you bring that in for me, please? And I'll give it out over the air because I thought I had it with me. I don't have it. I thought it was in this. But it's not. But she will fix you up with somebody that believes like you do. And I think that's important. I think there's a lot of people out there she can be a good service to. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. Button is you're on the air. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear WRNO on 9955 out there in Arizona?
WRNO?
The shortwave station. WRMI, I'm sorry.
You mean WRMI.
Can you hear that 9955 in Arizona?
Not where I'm at.
Well, you can't.
No. But some people can hear it in Nevada. Why?
I wanted you to take the program, just a few minutes of your part of the program, and then their announcements, at like between your 2 hours or at the end of your show. Because when they do their announcement, it's a lot clearer than when they're carrying your program. I thought you might be able to look into it.
Well, that's because they're pulling my broadcast off the satellite, but they're right there on their equipment when they make their announcements. Well, it depends upon a lot of things.
Yeah, it probably does. I thought you might want to check into it.
Well,
all I had to say.
Actually, there's nothing for me to check into.
Okay.
They're doing the best they can with the equipment they have, and I'm doing the best that I can with the equipment I have here, and you got to do the best you can with whatever you're listening to.
I'm sure working on that, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great.
Take care. Bye.
That doesn't do any good to tell me that, folks. If you have a problem like that, well, Connie just says she doesn't have it. She is in the process of sending us that information. So when I get it, I'll give it to you. But anyway, whenever you have a complaint about reception or shortwave, call WRMI. That's Radio Miami International in Miami, Florida. Don't call me. I don't have anything to do with the station. Okay? People used to call me all the time and say, when I was on WWCR, tell me that the reception was bad and that I was supposed to fix it up. Wrong. Call the station that you're listening to. Good evening. You're on the air.
Phil?
Yes?
It's Saber again.
Hi, Saber again.
You want Marilyn's number?
Yeah. You got it?
Yeah.
Give it out. So everybody get your pen and paper. Get your pen and paper. Run around right now. Pick up your pen. Get your piece of paper. Okay. Are you ready?
I hope so. Here it goes.
Go for it.
303-833-2016.
I hope you're writing this down, Connie. Do it one more time.
303-833-2016.
303-833-2016.
That's P.O. Box?
Yeah, you can give that out too.
Okay. It's Patriot Matchmaker, P.O. Box 1111, Frederick, Colorado, 80530.
One more time.
P.O. Box 1111, Frederick, Colorado, 80530.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Marilyn, the Patriot Matchmaker. She'll fix you up. I'm sure she's going to charge you a fee if she does. But it's worth it. I mean, I don't even know what she charges. I really don't. And she did not pay for any advertising on this broadcast. I'm doing this because I know that some of you need her services. It is the most terrible thing in the world to believe as we believe and be caught in a community of Marxists, socialists, or rabid sheeple, are just plain no-brainers. It's the worst thing that could ever happen to someone who is on our wavelength. So there you go. That's your solution. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Bob from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Bob.
I want to thank you for your remarks before about you really explained it the best I've heard yet in a simple sentence about the Catholic Church. And if anybody out there are looking for information, they can find even more information on the net. I think it's on America Online in either Society of St. Pius V or St. Pius X, because they're probably the two major groups that never swerved, never swayed, and didn't accept any of the changes.
Yeah.
And they'll also explain, there are books available, you probably know about them, but they're hard to find that explain how this all came about.
That's true.
And if somebody's looking for a church, they just have to hunt high and low like I did, and I'm sure you'll find somebody that is traditional or close to it.
Why do you think the Jesuits are such a subversive organization?
I don't know. I never really understood much about that.
I do. You ever study the history of Ignatius Loyola?
No. In fact,
who was he?
You got me by the hair because my catechism was done on a Wednesday. And I've been back to the church for 2 years now, and I'm doing a lot of catching up.
He was the first general of the Jesuit order.
Okay.
Do you know where he came from?
Yes. France?
Spain.
Spain.
You know what he was famous for before he became the head of the new order called the Society of Jesus?
No.
He was the Spanish head of the Ilumbrados. You know what that means in English? The Illuminati.
Oh, boy.
He was arrested by the Inquisition. And he was influential enough to beg mercy and have the people who he knew get him an audience with the Pope, where he believed that he could get the Pope to exonerate him and get him out of the torture chamber.
Okay, now I remember, because I did read a particular book halfway. I got sick of it.
Yeah.
I read it twice.
He went into his audience with the Pope crawling on his knees and came out standing up walking as the head of a new order who was immune from prosecution from any king, queen, pope, or order and owed his allegiance only and solely to the Pope.
You probably got that out of the plot, right?
Pardon?
You probably got that
out of... No, I got that out of years of research. I never believe one source about anything.
Even that book doesn't have everything in it.
So that was the first known that we can document incursion of the Illuminati into the Vatican.
Yeah, they tried for years.
Yeah.
Finally succeeded. But I thank you for your comments.
You're welcome.
There's somebody else out there on the radio that understands it.
Well, it's taken me years and years and years, and, you know, I fell into a lot of the deceptions that everybody else falls into, and finally I determined that I was never going to believe anything else ever again in my life unless I could absolutely prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I tell you to do.
Just like the church I go to, I've been told by locals that, your bishop's not valid. I said, look up your church history. It is valid. It was the decreed a long time ago another bishop can put a bishop in. It has to be done under the right circumstances, though.
Mm-hmm.
But these are things, I guess, will eventually will come to a head and will correct themselves, I hope.
Yes. All things secret will be revealed.
Okay, I also have a question for you. A couple of shows, they play Wake Up America. Is MCI Media the original source of that?
Wake Up America?
That's the one that covered, I think you played that last week or so. It covers the money situation and everything.
Oh, no, it's not I don't think so. I got my copy directly put into my hands by Stephen Jacobson. And he's been a guest on this broadcast.
Okay, what's the source of that tape? Could you give that out?
Well, I have no idea. I got my copy from Stephen Jacobson. We used to refer people to him to get to order their copies, but he doesn't live where he used to live anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard from him for a while. So if I were to give you the address that I have, it would just come back to you, whatever you sent, because he doesn't live there anymore, and there's no forwarding. It's expired.
I wonder if these other places are just selling it.
I don't know. Swiss America, I don't sell. Swiss America Trading was making his tapes for a while. Because I asked them to. I told them that it was that important, and so Craig Smith did it and paid Stephen Jacobson a royalty for that.
Yeah, because if other places are selling it, they're taking money away from him.
Oh, are you kidding? Other places have been ripping me and everybody else who's ever done anything good off and not paying us anything for it.
Yeah, I know that.
They're scum. They're thieves. But that's, you know, that's the nature of the beast. There are those of us who work and produce, and there are those who are parasites who steal from those of us who work and produce and get wealthy from it.
Yes, and they make it difficult to fight this.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, they wouldn't be able to do it if all of those people out there would say, hey, you know, you're stealing from these people. I'm not going to purchase anything from you.
Go.
Okay.
It's good talking to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
520-333-4578. Thank you for calling. And read this letter. We're waiting for the next call. Dear Bill, the impact of not hearing your nightly shortwave broadcast has certainly revealed to me the unequivocal value of your dedicated effort to inform those who wish documented truth. Yes, I feel a gnawing void. WWCR not only delivered you a great injustice, but has persecuted thousands of current and future listeners. They did me an injustice by promising me an earlier time slot, which they would never, they never intended to fulfill. And so I did them a justice by leaving their radio station on my own account, because you see, you can't have principles and ideals, folks, if you're not willing to back them up with action. So even though leaving WWCR deprived a lot of listeners of this broadcast, it certainly prohibited me from reaching as many listeners, and it affected us in a lot of other ways, it was the right thing to do. And whenever I'm given a choice of what to do, I always will choose the right path, no matter who it hurts or helps, even if it hurts me. So that's just a little explanation, because I know there's a lot of people listening who don't even know anything about the little why I left WWCR and went off shortwave for a while. Anyway, he goes on to say, I am a townhouse owner. 7-foot dishes are out of the question. Bob Warren of Bossier City, Louisiana, U.S. Air Force retired, with whom I think you are acquainted, and I, along with others, are discussing the possibility of such a receiving device along with FM transmission. In the meantime, we anxiously await your return to the shortwave airways. Well, here I am. And the best thing to do, folks, if you can't afford a satellite dish, or if you live in a place where you're not supposed to have one, then get together with several other people, find a place where you can put one, all of you chip in, purchase the satellite receiving system, get yourself a low-power FM broadcast transmitter, and get on the air. That's how you do it. He goes on to say, many years have passed since my World War II service in the European Theater of Operations, and in spite of intense study for the past 5 years, I find the task of separating propaganda withheld information, and documented fact a highly challenging task. Well, welcome to the club. As I've said many times, the truth is elusive and requires work to find it. He says, and I quote, "I thank God every day for a family-loving Christian like you who has sacrificed so much to help the uninformed sheeple. You stand tall, Bill Cooper. You tell it the way it is. We will anticipate each and every issue of Veritas. Please send your catalog, blah, 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 blah. Again, we thank you for your untiring contribution toward the freedom and survival of our civilization. Sincerely, Charles." And I thank you for the letter, Charles. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
You just made my day. I turned the shortwave on, heard your voice, and it's the first time I've heard it since last fall in a deal with WWCR, and it just pleases me to no end to find you on the shortwave again.
Well, great. That's wonderful. Glad to have you back.
Okay. That's really all I got to say, but it is wonderful to hear you again.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Goodbye, Mr. Cooper.
520-333-4578. Thank you for calling to tell me that you're back. Marilyn, the Patriot matchmaker, says she needs more single women who are interested in finding a man who believe in the principles and ideals of the United States of America as it was founded and intended to be an inconstitutional Republican government. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, finally.
Thank you.
You get to excuse me. Right now, I'm not listening to your show live. I have a friend of mine who tapes the show for me, and I work second shift, and I'm calling from you at work right now. I just took the chance that you might be answering calls tonight.
Well, I am. What can I do for you?
Oh, I want to show you something. Basically, I want to tell you my background. My name is Mark.
Wait a minute. Let me get camera two over here. Camera two, he wants to show us something. Get over here. Okay.
I want to read something to you over the air.
You're on camera. Go ahead.
Okay, my name is Mark, and I work as a temp at Hewlett-Packard in Andover, Massachusetts. And a friend of mine that was also a listener of your show, and he the one that actually got me interested in your show, he showed me a newsletter that Hewlett-Packard puts out once a week. And very interesting, and it goes on your line about New World Government Order. And I'm sure you're familiar with Hewlett-Packard. It's one of the prominent companies in the world,
mm-hmm.
computers and printers, and here we make medical equipment. But I'm going to read you something out of a newsletter that was just last week, and it goes, Hewlett-Packard is playing a prominent role at the 1997 annual meeting of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, January 30th to February 4th. The important six-day event brings together the world's business leaders from the largest 1,000 companies, political leaders, media personalities, experts, and intellectuals for discussions. Hewlett-Packard executives will take part in several sessions, and Hewlett-Packard is again providing IT support for the conference. There are hundreds of individual meetings and seminars during the conference, which this year focuses on the effects of global communications and computer networks. The companies represented in Davos, Switzerland, do an estimated $4.5 trillion of business annually. CEO Lou Platt and France Norvertel, Vice President of the Europe, Middle East, Africa area, who joined such industry leaders as Bill Gates, Chairman of Microsoft, and John Welch, Chairman of General Electric, among others, in Davos, Switzerland. Well-known political personalities attending include House Speaker Newt Gingrich of the United States, Boris Berezovsky, Russia's Deputy National Secretary Chief, Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, and Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat, along with dozens of government ministers from all over the world.
What? These are all supposed to be enemies.
Yeah.
What are they doing there?
I don't know.
Well, the AP pinned them. The AP named them for what they are. And I read that yesterday on the air. The AP identified them as the Illuminati.
And they're all supposed to be working for us. And how ironic it is that Newt Gingrich and we have Russia's Deputy National Secretary Chief, they're in Israel. And Israel and United States are kind of like comic buddies. Pat each other on the back all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And just one more quick paragraph here. Platt and Numertel are leading discussions on the topic, quote, toward a world electronic community, end quote. And plenary sessions, Platt will be discussing opportunities to sustain business growth by focusing on the successful Hewlett-Packard business model. So there you go. Looks like they're all working towards a new world government. If they're going to take us over by by money and weapons. They're going to have to go through the computerized communications networking system to do that.
Well, that's exactly what they're doing, and you certainly got it pinned, yeah.
What I'm going to do is, I know like you just don't want to take one word for it. I'm going to mail you this. I have your address. This and another interesting article I got from Time Magazine.
Please, please do. We're always looking for more information all the time, and nobody ever has to call and ask if we want it. We always want it, no matter what it is. Send it.
All right. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And I'm a newcomer to your show about a month and a half, but a friend of mine that got me into the show, he's been listening to you for about 3 or 4 years now, and you know, he's just... I love the message, you know, I really, really do. But thanks a lot. Good time, Mr. Cooper.
You're welcome.
You have a good night.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Let me read this to you, folks. You know, years ago, I told you that the Central Intelligence Agency had the ability to duplicate the sound of anyone's voice and make a telephone call to anyone who would recognize that voice and carry on a conversation with the person believing 100% that they were talking who they thought they were talking to, when in reality they're really talking to a computer, and that the NSA has the same capability. And here it is, finally admitted in print. People called me a liar, said, you can't do that. Not only can they do it, they've been doing it for many years, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, the things that they can do are just incredible. Listen to this. Duplicating enemy voices, a combat skill from Aeronautical Engineering section of Aviation Week and Space Technology, dated July the 8th, 1996. Aviation Week and Space Technology, July the 8th, 1996. Duplicating enemy voices. Now, folks, don't get caught up in this duplicating enemy voices. What it means is they can duplicate any voice. And that's what you have to be worried about. You see, there's no law governing what these people do. They do whatever the hell they want to do when they do it. They don't have to account to anybody for their money, their technology, or what they do unless they get caught. And if they get caught in certain instances, they don't have to account for it either. Here's what it says. The U.S. has developed a voice spoofing system to intercept an enemy radio message, alter its meaning, and retransmit the communication in the original operator's voice to confuse a foe's pilots, surface-to-air missile operators, or even tactical ground force commanders. Alteration of a message could be completed within a few minutes, possibly tens of seconds, by an experienced communications intercept specialist. Intelligence experts caution that spontaneous manipulation would not be the most likely or profitable use of such a system. Voice manipulation would probably form part of a structured long-term deception plan. Absolutely, of course. The Central Intelligence Agency and Naval Research Laboratory, and the device is manufactured by Raytheon E-Systems. The system deals only with plain language transmissions and not encrypted messages. However, plain language messages are... it skips somewhere, and somehow I've lost where it skips to. But anyway, they can do it, just like I've always told you that they can do it. And now they're coming out and admitting it in print. And what they're admitting, folks, is not even a little bit of what the truth about their capability really is. They never tell you the whole truth. And whatever they reveal to the public, remember, they're 50 to 100 years ahead in secret, always. That's the way the intelligence community and the black projects operate. UAVs and manned platforms could tap into enemy conversations. These messages could be captured, altered, and rebroadcast to create confusion. Often the communications of choice in a fast-moving tactical situation, because secure messages are often plagued with sound distortions that make comprehension of detailed subjects difficult. And so it applies with the voice manipulation device. It breaks an intercepted message down into 1/4-second segments that can be cut from or shifted within a stream of words to create new deceptive messages without altering the enemy speaker's voice. They could trigger short-term confusion, delay, and doubt in a combat arena that often requires split-second decisions for survival. Now, listen to this. Such message manipulation, they contend, would only be used as part of a thoroughly planned, well-thought-out intelligence scheme. Well, of course, that's what it's for. And it has been used for that on many instances. It has been used against me, ladies and gentlemen, personally, several years ago. Now listen to this. By storing a large vocabulary for a given enemy communicator, which means anybody that they target, it could be you, U.S. intelligence operators could construct even more sophisticated spoofing schemes. With a large enough pool of messages, an experienced operator or team of operators could assemble complicated messages or instructions to confuse or misdirect enemy forces. Gunners might be convinced not to fire at intruding Allied aircraft. Pilots could be directed away from U.S. attack or reconnaissance forces. Our ground units could be directed to retreat instead of attack. Or they could make a tape recorder in your voice to make you sound like you were drunk or insane or threatening people or anything else that they wanted you to believe. And they have been using this for many years, folks. Many, many years. It is not new. And they can do much more than what they ever let on right here. So, technology is dangerous in the hands of people with power. It can be dangerous in the hands of people without power. But when people have a lot of power and little or no supervision, they're dangerous. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. I just found out you're back on the air, and I'm real glad to hear. I wanted to find out whether you had an email address and a website.
I have a web page. I don't just give out my email address because I get about 700 messages a day as it is, and it's almost impossible to weed through it. Most of it's stuff that's superfluous. And I need to only concentrate on that is important because I no longer find myself with any time whatsoever.
I understand. What's your website?
http://www.telepath.com/believer. That's http://www.telepath.com/believer.
Okay, I've got you up on my website. I'll put a link to your web page on mine.
Great. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.
And welcome back to the fold, my friend. 520-333-4578. We're just taking calls for these 2 hours today and talking about whatever you want to talk about. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Bob from New Jersey.
Hi, Bob.
That earlier caller, the lady that called in about Clinton taking the oath, it occurred to me that there is possibly two good reasons. One, he's left-handed, and he just automatically did that, or the other is
that's
probably never took a serious oath in his entire life.
Well, you're probably right about that. And that was what I was trying to say. He might have just been nervous, and because he's left-handed, he might have just done it that way. I don't know.
Listen, Bill, I just got off the phone with Stephen Jacobson.
Mm-hmm.
He's still at the same location and the same phone number.
He is?
Is it okay to give it?
Yeah, if he's still there, yes.
Okay, it's Stephen Jacobson. M is in Mary, C is in Charlie, I is in Ida, A is in Apple, Media, P.O. Box 15734, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27 113.
Why don't you repeat that again?
Okay.
But that's not his address.
Well, that's all right, but that's where
that's somebody who's making his tapes for him. See, for a while, he stopped using MCIA.
Well,
and Swiss American
Credit. That address is good.
Pardon?
I spoke to him just a minute ago, and
Listen to me.
Is good.
Listen to me.
Yes.
I didn't say it wasn't good.
Oh, okay.
I said I didn't know he was back with them because for a while he didn't have anybody producing his tapes, and Swiss America was doing it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's back with MCIA, and that's a good, legitimate address where people can purchase his tapes, that's wonderful.
Okay. I have his phone number, too, if you like.
Repeat the address again.
Okay, that's MCIA Media, P.O. Box 15734, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27113.
And what's the phone number?
All right, the phone number is area 910-723-6535.
One more time.
910-723-6535.
And how much is the tape?
Right now, the two-tape package is $23.25.
And what if somebody can't afford the two-tape package and just wants Wake Up America?
Well, he's got $14.75 on that tape,
okay,
and $11.75 on the mind control tape.
Okay.
And there's $2.25 shipping and handling on that, too.
Okay. Everybody get that? Good.
I hope.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
You see, whenever I play his tape and it's on one of our masters, we have never made those available for purchase. They're always unavailable. Because we know Stephen Jacobson needs the money. In fact, there was a time there when he didn't know how he was going to put the next bite of bread in his mouth. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
I thought I'd throw something into the pot on this left-hand issue.
Okay.
Okay, this is from an Encyclopedia of Freemasonry and its Kindred Sciences, 1925 edition. Under left hand, it says, among the ancients, the left hand was a symbol of equity and justice. Thus, Apuleius, when describing the procession in honor of Isis, says one of the ministers of the sacred rites, quote, bore the symbol of equity, a left hand fashioned with the palm extended, which seems to be more adapted to administering equity than the right from its natural inertness and its being endowed with no craft and no subtlety, end quote.
And that's why the left hand is always placed upon the Bible and the right hand is raised in the air.
Right. And under left side, it says, in the symbolism of Masonry, the first degree is represented by the left side, which is to indicate that as the left is the weaker part of the body, so is the entered apprentice's degree the weakest part of Masonry. This doctrine, that the left is the weaker side of the body, is very ancient. Plato says it arises from the fact that the right is more used, but Aristotle contends that the organs of the right side are by nature more powerful than those of the left. That's it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
See, we always can come up with an answer, some way or another. It makes me jealous that she was able to reach her Masonic encyclopedia or dictionary. I forget which it was she said. My library is still all packed in boxes, and I am suffering from such withdrawal because I am a book person. There are some of us in this world who realize that all of the sum total of the knowledge of the entire human race and all of the wisdom that has been learned throughout the history of the world are in books. They don't exist anywhere else. This information can't be found anywhere else. It is in books, only in books, and only in books will you find it. And so I just hate my library being in boxes. In fact, the next project that we have here is to build the shelves so that I can take it out of the boxes and have instant access to my library again, because I'm just not a whole person without it, I got to tell you. I am really suffering because I don't have access to all my books right now. And for a person like me, that's a terrible thing. I mean, really, a terrible thing. 520-333-4578 is the number. The best thing that you could ever do for your children, folks, teach them how to read as early as you possibly can. Teach them to love books. Show them books. Read to them. Help them discover the tremendous world that exists within books. And you'll make sure that they'll never be enslaved in their lifetime. Their mind will always be free, no matter what kind of shackles will be put on their bodies, I can assure you. 520-333-4578. Give me a call. Tell me what you're thinking about right now. What are you thinking about right now? Yeah. You. What do you mean I can't see? I can see right through this microphone, right down through that cord, through all this equipment, up to the satellite, back down, and through your radio speaker. I can assure you it's true. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. I saw a video, America's Not Too Late Yet, and on there, they said that Mikhail Gorbachev, who is now currently in the Gorbachev Foundation, is one of the top leaders in this country, saying which U.S. military bases should be closed down. Is that correct?
That's true. He was appointed.
He's not even an American. What?
He was appointed to the board by the President of the United States.
And he's one of the ones that says which U.S. military bases should be closed down?
That's right. According to the disarmament treaty, the Russians have the right to not only help in those decisions, but supervise the closing of those bases. This is what Americans don't know. They have no idea what these traitors are doing to us in Washington, D.C.
Weren't there any congressional investigations, or why isn't...
Are you kidding?
Why did I have to find it out from a videotape?
Because Washington, D.C. is full of people who are committing treason. They want a one-world totalitarian, what they call utopian socialist government. They think that they have the answer to all the world's problems, and it does not include freedom.
Isn't there anybody in Congress, just like one senator or one representative who's...
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Sonny Bono hasn't been bought out because they don't respect the guy, but he's probably the only one.
Where's Jesse Helms? Why?
Are you kidding? You've got to be kidding.
Well, I'm just kind of curious why there's nobody in the Congress who's...
I would suggest that you call some congressmen and ask them. The answers will scare you even more. They pretend ignorance. They don't know what you're talking about. You're a conspiracy nut.
Well, and I saw photographs of foreign troops on U.S. soil. I saw photographs of...
Yeah, that's all true.
Equipment.
That's all true. And they're undergoing joint operations with United States forces in order to be prepared for United Nations peacekeeping operations under the New World Order, where all military forces will be assigned under UN command.
Well, the militias in this country really are just for self-defensive purposes mostly, are they not?
No, the militia is for, well, if you're talking about the militia of the United States of America, as defined by the Constitution, they are for... the purpose of suppressing insurrection, repelling invasion, or enforcing, or excuse me, the correct terminology is executing the laws of the Union. Those three purposes. They have other purposes in the states. And they have been and can be used for aggressive purposes.
Well, can this be documented somehow with Gorbachev? Is there a paper trail?
Of course there's a paper trail. and it's United States government documentation. I've given out the references on this broadcast on several occasions. And I know that others have done the same. You're just becoming aware of the fact, right?
Yeah,
you're just awakening. That's wonderful. I know what a shock it may be, but it's wonderful that you are awakening.
Well, I've been listening to the Solzhenitsyn tape that he made right upon his exile in 75.
Mm-hmm.
And these Leninists that controlled the Soviet Union, that's where Gorbachev came from. And they were communists, and they were enemies of freedom in the Soviet Union. And now they're here, and Gorbachev's Time Man of the Year. It's just a complete contradiction.
No, it's not. They've all been operating under the Hegelian principle. You see, we always thought that we were enemies. At the highest level, this was all a manipulation in order to get the money out of the hands of the people to create the technology to be able to rule the world under the New World Order. Okay, I'm out of time. I got to go.
Thanks.
And folks, good night. And God bless each and every single one of you. And God bless and save this republic. Be sure, ladies and gentlemen, to tune in at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Jackie Patru program. And don't forget to tune in the same time tomorrow for the Hour of the Time. This is the Voice of Freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also carried on WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 99.55 kilohertz, Monday through Friday nights, 5 until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For those of you living in the Springerville, Eager area, Antoinette is back. Los Dos Molinos is open. She gave me a big hug last night and a giant plate of beans, rice, and chili rellenos. I'm still burning, and I'm so happy, and I'm full.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
We now return you to all oldies most of the time.